Welcome.
It's time for the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Brother and Pastor Dave Jones from Faith Independent Baptist Church, 1532 Elijah Creek Road in Hebron, Kentucky. Check out the website,
Faith Independent Baptist at Hebron.org.
And now, Pastor Dave Jones with the Old Time Country Church Broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Old Time Country Church Broadcast. This is Pastor Dave Jones. I am pastor of the Faith Independent Baptist Church in the community of Hebron, Kentucky. Been so for the last several years. I am blessed to be their pastor. What a good bunch of folks we have. I pray you get to meet some of them one of these days. Come by and visit us. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you. Let's go to the God in prayer today. Our Father, we're thankful, dear Lord, for another chance to put the gospel out. We never take it lightly. God, we always know that, Lord, if you don't hear, it's just a sounding brass and tingling cymbal. But, Lord, I believe you are here. And I believe, God, you take the Spirit of God and anoint these broadcasts every week that they go out to the places where you want them to go. I pray your richest blessings on our listeners today. Lift up the sick and the downfallen. God, encourage those that are down in the dumps and save those that are lost. And every week we pray, God, please, get glory to thyself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We made us a quartet up here just as spur of the moment the other day. Sister Robin Halp was in town. Brother Dale Tilly was with us. My son Scott was with us and others. And we picked up the songbook and said, hey, let's sing this right here. And here's an old song I bet you've heard a lot of times on the radio. And it's called Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
I was standing on my window to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a letter on the way in the sky.
Well, now I'll take you into a little different service. Most of the time you'll hear a preaching service on here, and we always love those, and I'm preaching, or sometimes somebody else is. But this is our Sunday morning adult teaching class, our Bible class. And it's a little different. The Bible said we need teaching and preaching. And I'm not a good example of being the one, but I do my best. And on this particular day, we were studying out of Matthew 24. And this is a study. I want you to take your Bibles and follow along, because if you don't understand Matthew chapter 24, you're not going to get all the things about the rapture and the church and differentiate between the tribulation period and the age of grace, the church age. And a lot of folks fall in that trap because they will not rightly divide the word of truth. So if we take you down to this service recently on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and you're welcome to come. We have Bible study, and we also have a new converts class that meets downstairs at 10 o'clock as well, if that's better suits you. But either way, here's some teaching that I did on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. I want to come back and revisit this. I'll tell you why once we get into it. We kind of touched on this back last year. I want to come back through it, and I'll tell you why. Because if you're familiar with Matthew chapter 24, the entire chapter, all the verses, have to do with the tribulation period. Now, having said that, we're going to see things that look like it's for right now, before the Lord comes back this time for the church. It isn't. We're seeing things here in the tribulation period that we're seeing beginnings of now, which means the coming of the Lord has to be close. And so don't get sidetracked with this, because you can't make it fit. You can't make Matthew 24 fit with church age doctrine. This is tribulation. But the things that the Lord Jesus taught them that was going to happen in the tribulation, we're seeing the beginnings of now. We're seeing the first waves of it now, although we're not in the tribulation period. Now, let me give you this little background, and we'll dive into the scripture here. There are a lot of views of the coming of the Lord. I say views because that's what they are. They're not biblical. One of the views is that the church goes through half of the tribulation and we're taken out. They base that on the fact that there is a rapture in the middle of the tribulation period of the Jews and so forth. People, Lord talked about one left to dwell, one grinding, one taken, that kind of thing. That all takes place during the tribulation period. That's not us. That's not who we are here. And the other one is that the church goes through the end of the tribulation period, and then the Lord takes us out if we've endured the tribulation period. Because the Bible said they endured to the end shall be saved. That isn't us. That's not the church. That is a period of time that's going to be 7 years coming up after the Lord came back. So you got to know where you are. Because if you don't, you can't make the church fit in here. You can't pick and choose the verses you want to apply to the church. Because it all has to do with one teaching that Jesus gave. So that's called dispensational truth. We teach by dispensation. And so let's look at Matthew 24. His disciples come to him in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So they wanted to know about his coming. Now, you and I are looking for his coming too, but it's not the coming they're talking about. These were Jews. They recognized the fact that Jesus was going to come back and establish the kingdom. That's what they knew about. That's what Jesus had preached about on the earth. He said, "I've come to establish the kingdom." They knew that he was going to come to establish it. And they said, "We want to know about that." So here's what he's beginning to teach them. He said in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now that's really good advice right here from the Lord, because there are a lot of deceivers. We're going to see that in this passage here. During the tribulation period, a lot of deceivers in the world. They're already in the world. We already see lots of them right now. There are a lot of them that can deceive you. And this goes back to the root, the basic thing. And this is the thing that just, I don't mind telling you, just frustrates me to see the lack of concern by people wanting to know the Bible and wanting to know how to learn the Bible. If they were, they'd be here this morning. But I'm glad you're here. I'm not fussing with you. But I'm just saying that the basic foundation for what we believe is in your lap right there, the Word of God. And you got to learn how to write the divine word of God. You can't just, there are some passages here that have to do with the Old Testament saints. Some have New Testament saints. Some have to do with the tribulation. Some have to do with the millennial kingdom and so forth. And so we need to pay attention to where we are and what we're doing. So he's telling them, he said, there are many deceivers come into the world. For many shall come in my name. And that's true. Saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. If you read 1 John, who is New Testament teaching to the church, and he told that church, he said, even now are there many antichrists in the world. And there are. There are many people in the world who say they're Christ, or they imply that they're Christ. And John said they are antichrist because they're not the Christ. They're antichrist. So he said, and they're going to deceive many. Now, why do you reckon that is? Why is it that these false Christs have the ability to deceive many because of what you see around you today? There are a handful, just a few, that want to know the Word of God, that love the Word of God, that study the Word of God, and the rest of them just kind of take it as a cursor. Oh, well, I believe the Bible. Yeah, well, could you tell me something about the coming of the Lord? They couldn't give you one verse on it, a lot of them. You all can, because you're students of the Bible. And so, and he said down here in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Now, that looks like that's got to be today. It's not. We're hearing wars, rumors of war. Yeah, that's true. We're seeing that. And we're going to see why. We're going to see why we're seeing that now. We're going to see that in just a minute. I'm going to get to that verse in a second. But he said we're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. That's going to be more prevalent during the tribulation period. I listened to a couple of generals over the weekend talk. People are supposed to know something. I don't know whether they do or not. They're generals. There have been a lot of wars. But they seem to think that by 2020, we're going to be fighting two or three wars on different fronts, North Korea, one of them, and maybe even China. And, of course, the Middle East is always going to be there for us. And he seems to think that's not going to be a good thing for our country, and it's certainly not. Whether he knows that or not, I don't know. But we're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, and it's going to be more prevalent during the tribulation period. And he said, verse 6, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass before, and the end is not yet. Now, the end, the question they asked him was, when is the end of the world? That's what he's dealing with, and in their minds, that when Jesus comes to establish a kingdom, to them it's the end of the world. So he's answering their question. And we know that the end of the world is not going to be even then. It's way down the road when the Lord creates a new heaven and a new earth. We know from reading Revelation that's on down the road. So we're not talking about when Jesus comes near to the end of the world. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the rapture of the church to take the believer home. So in the tribulation period, here's what he says. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation. Well, you say, preacher, that's going on right now. Yes, it is. It's been going on for a lot of years. But in the tribulation period, it's going to be more prevalent. And what he's saying is this, that, you know, a lot of people say, well, man is going to get better and better. He's going to usher in the kingdom. I mean, there'll be no war. He's going to beat his swords on the plowshare. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until the wars are fought. Jesus rules and reigns with a rod of iron from Jerusalem. And so for nation shall rise against nation, verse 7, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. That's going on right now. You say, preacher, why is that not church age doctrine? It's just not, because the whole chapter, as you're going to see, is an answer to their question. It has to do with the tribulation period. Yes, we're seeing famines. There have been famines for years. He said in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So when the tribulation period comes, when Jesus comes and takes us out of here, which could be any moment, in the next heartbeat, we could be gone. I mean, just bang, gone. And I pray we are. You know, and I'm going to mention you, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. But at some point in time after that, the tribulation period starts, and the Antichrist will be revealed. And so he said these are the beginning of sorrows. As we read through this, we're going to see that that's just the beginning. The tribulation period is 7 years long. It is divided in half. It's divided in 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years is called the beginning of sorrows. The last 3.5 years is called the great tribulation, and you're going to see why. All right, pick up verse 9. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated with all nations for my name's sake. Because that's going on right now. That is, but not to the extent that it will be during the tribulation period. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to his disciples. Who are they? Jews. I can tell you, brother, during the tribulation period, the persecution of Jews is going to pick up tremendously, because that's God dealing again with the nation of Israel. And during the tribulation period, the nation of Israel can get saved by trust. During the church age, the nation of Israel can get saved the way we do, by trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. But during the tribulation period, God begins to deal with them again directly, and he's judging them, and he said they're going to persecute you, and you're going to be hated to all nations for my name's sake. And so then he said, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You say, man, we're seeing that every morning in the news. I understand that. I don't think I've ever lived a time where I've seen our nation so fractured and divided with just hatred. Not just differences of opinion. I mean hatred, bitterness. For whatever reason, a lot of it's political, a lot of it is people are racist, hating each other, those kinds of things. You've always had that. Is we're seeing more now, but it's going to be off the leash during the tribulation period. But this brings me back to my point. If we're seeing the beginning of these things now, how soon do you reckon your Lord's coming back? I can't set you a date, but we've got to be close to this. And so he said in verse 10, then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Jesus, when he was on the earth, what did he tell his disciples? He said, I'm not come to bring peace, I've come to bring a sword. He said, I'm going to divide your house. Some of your households are going to believe in me, some of the households are not going to believe in me, and you're going to be at odds with each other. But we forward that 2017. you know in your own family and mine too, that if you take a strong stand for Jesus Christ, some of your family members are not going to like it. They're going to be against you. They're going to not want anything to do with you. That's a little bit of what we're going to see in the tribulation period. Now, and he said in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Now, Paul writes in his writings about false prophets. He says they're going to become false prophets. They're going to come and they're going to say, well, look, you know, whose side are you on? And you need to believe what I got to say. I got this personal revelation, all that kind of stuff. We've seen that before. How many false prophets have we seen predicted the day of the coming of the Lord and missed it? They're false prophets. And so, but there's going to be tremendously more during the tribulation period. He said in verse 12, and the iniquity of many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You said, man, Brother Dave, that has got to be this age. Yeah, it does describe this age, but doctrinally it has to do with the tribulation period. Now, we're seeing the love of many grow cold. Look around you. The love of many grow cold. Because he said iniquity abounds, and we know iniquity abounds. I saw this today, not that it makes any difference, but it just illustrates what I'm talking about, that anybody can be an expert on anything nowadays. I saw today that this idiot, this pervert, washed up out of the guts of hell, who publishes pornography, said he would pay $10 million to find something out on the current sitting president, so get rid of him. All of a sudden, he's an expert on this thing, you know, and he's a pervert. But anyway, in verse 13, he said, but they that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, you cannot make that fit the grace of God's salvation we have nowadays. It is not dependent on us enduring to the end. It depends on Jesus Christ on the cross. We believe on him. This is church. This is not the church age. This is the tribulation period. But a lot of people, they say, well, now, here's what I believe, Brother Dave. I believe you got to endure to the end to be saved. Well, you don't have the kind of salvation that God talks about in the grace of God. You don't. Paul talks about that grace, the gospel, the grace of God. He said, if any man bring any other gospel to you than that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. You got to know where you are. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of stuff like this, but we're not there yet. We could be in the morning. We could be out of here and be gone. But he said down here in verse 14, and after he mentions verse 13, it's interesting that he mentions the gospel he's talking about. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I know this is probably a very, very fine point, but I think this is the place to bring it in here. And, you know, I understand the thought behind it. A lot of folks said, we're building the kingdom. We're not really. We're building a church, and we're getting folks saved and getting ready for heaven. I understand that thought, and I understand what that means, and it's worthy. But the Lord said here, there's going to be a gospel of the kingdom, and it's going to be preached all around the world. Now, years ago, the preachers were going around, and they said when the gospel is preached to every nation, then Jesus will come back. They get that from this passage here. That is not necessarily true in our church. We ought to take it to every nation, and we are trying to take it to every nation. And the Bible said even the nature itself witnesses against the lost man, that there is a God. But there's nothing that has to happen that I know about from reading the Bible that would hinder Jesus from coming today and taking his church out. Not one thing. But we're not out there waiting. So as soon as the last nation hears the gospel, then Jesus will come back. It will hear the kingdom gospel be preached. You got 144,000 sealed male virgin Jews preaching it. Which Jehovah's Witnesses think they are, which they're not. And you got these two witnesses preaching it that are probably Elijah and Enoch. But anyway, down in verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness of all nations, then shall the end come. The end being the end of the tribulation period, because that's when Jesus will come back to rule and reign. He said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel by the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Jesus referenced, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. Jesus referenced Daniel's prophecy here. Let's read just a couple of verses of it. But Daniel is prophesying this very event when the Antichrist will ascend the throne in Jerusalem and sit down and declare that he is the Messiah. Look down at verse 27 just a minute. And he shall confirm the covenants with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week. Now, when the Antichrist shows up at the beginning of the tribulation period, God refers that to a week. In other words, there's 7 days a week, there's 7 years in the tribulation period. He's going to say, I'm the Jews' friend, and we're going to help Israel, and that kind of thing. But he said, in the midst of the week. In other words, at 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He said they can't go down to the temple anymore. And he said, for the overspreading, now watch the two words here, overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and the determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. You got the abomination of desolation. What is that? That's the Antichrist ascending the throne, 3.5 years in the tribulation period, and saying, I am Christ, and you're going to worship me. All sacrifices stop. All sacrifices be made to me. No more Jewish sacrifices. And then comes the last half of the tribulation period, what God called the Great Tribulation. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Let's get a New Testament reference to the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's good for you to know where these are. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You got to know where this stuff is and how to correlate it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It corresponds to what Daniel prophesied and what Jesus was talking about. He said in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him. Now that's, he's talking about the rapture there. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word from us, for that day of Christ is at hand. He said, a lot of you being taught that you're going to be here through the tribulation period and all of that, and they're troubling you about it. He said, let no man deceive you. Verse 3. Isn't that what Jesus said? There's going to be many deceivers come. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, talking about the day of Christ, is coming at the end of the tribulation period, shall not come except a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed. As soon as the church is gone here, at some point in time, the Antichrist will be revealed for the Antichrist. Now, you've heard preachers say, and I have too, and I can't dispute it. A lot of preachers say, well, Antichrist could be alive today. He very well could. He could be a child or a grown man. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to say he's alive today or not. I don't know. But he could be. We're that close, apparently. But he said he'll be revealed as the Antichrist. And he said, who opposeth, verse 4, and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the abomination of desolation. That's what Daniel prophesied. The Antichrist says, I'm Christ, worship me. Now, let's crank the time machine back a little bit. When the devil was the covering cherub, when he was Lucifer, light, and the covering cherub, his desire was, he had 5 I wills. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. This is that attempt right here. That's the thing he said from the beginning. He fell because of his pride, and there's many prophecies about that. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let him be taken out of the way. That's us. That's the rapture. That's the Holy Spirit. We're gone. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So, two things God says here, three things. When the church is out of here, at some point in time after that, the Antichrist will be revealed, and people will gladly receive him. That's what the mark of the beast is all about. That's what all this stuff is about. And it says down here that the Lord's going to come back and destroy him. And look at the last part of verse 8, with the brightness of his coming. Now that coming is at the end of the tribulation period. That's what his disciples were asking about to begin with. So when you're talking about the coming of the Lord, you need to distinguish between which one you're talking about. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after working of Satan with all power and light, signs and lying wonders. You see that connection there? The Antichrist is connected to Satan because Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And that's his attempt that comes to pass in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David, because that was the prophecy about Jesus. The prophecy was Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David and rule and reign from his kingdom, and he will. But Antichrist shows up. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about folks who got left behind for rapture. Now, I understand there's a lot of, and I don't see any conflict here. I see no reason to be confused about this. Notwithstanding what some of the writers have talked about, some of the writers of the series of books, Death Behind or whatever, they indicate there's a second chance for those who've heard the gospel in this age. This Bible doesn't give them a second chance. Those who heard the gospel in this age, the Lord said, dear, they rejected that they might be saved. And he said, verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they might believe a lie, that they all might be damned. And that little three-letter word is all, who believe not the truth, that had pleasure in unrighteousness. He said if they rejected Christ in this age, they heard about it. Now, there'll be people saved during the tribulation period who believe the gospel of the kingdom. But there's going to be some works associated with that. They're going to have to endure to the end, those kinds of things. Reject the mark of the beast, all those things. We live in the gospel of the grace of God. We are saved by the grace of God. Had a guy come in here for a while. And boy, he just got real ugly with me. And he's a fellow that studied his Bible, but he studied under some people that were kind of whacked out on their doctrine. And he said, well, you all are teaching multiple ways to get saved. I said, no, we're not. The Bible doesn't teach that. You're saved one way in this dispensation, the gospel of grace of God. And I said, are you dispensationalist? Oh, yeah, I am. But he was also a Baptist briar. So I don't know where all that fits in, because you couldn't prove that in the Bible if your life depended on it. But anyway, and so he finally left the congregation, which is fine. I mean, it's a free country. But I'm saying that at verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning shows you salvation, sanctification of the Spirit, and belief in the truth, whereunto he calls you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice here what Paul says to the church. He said he called you by our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. All right, let's go back to Matthew 24 real quick, and we'll take a little break here. Matthew 24. So I hope you're getting something. I know there's a lot of material here, and I'm just trying to give you an overview, because it is so pertinent, because we're seeing some of these things today. Almost every day you pick up the newspaper or going online, you see all this stuff. But in Matthew chapter 24, let's pick up here in verse 16. Then let him which is in Judea flee unto the mountains. Now, the Lord said, all right, when the Antichrist ascends the throne of David and declares he's the Messiah, he said, I'm telling you as Jews, you get out of there. You go to the mountains, because it's going to start getting hard for you. You need to hide out. Let them which are in the house on the housetop not come down and take anything out of the house. He says, it's time for you to go quickly. You have to run quickly. Neither let him that's in the field return back to take his clothes. And warn them that are with child, or them that give suck in those days. He said, if you got a baby and you're nursing that baby, it's going to be a hard, hard thing for you. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now you say, was that a prophecy? I don't know. The Lord knew what day was going to be, obviously. But he's telling them, pray that it won't be in winter. It's going to be harder for you. It does snow, get cold in Israel. And so in verse 21, and then shall there be great tribulation. Now notice the words. Be careful of the words here. For then shall be great tribulation. When? When the Antichrist ascends the throne, declaring he's Jesus, the Messiah, then this last 3.5 years of hell on earth is unleashed. And you're going to see that. You read about that in the book of Revelation. I mean, the pits opened up. All these horrible creatures come out of smoke and torment and fire. And they're chasing people up and down the streets and mess like that. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I have enough problems with wild dreams anyway. I dream crazy stuff. I eat pizza and Pepsi before I go to bed. I junk chase me, big hair on, make a mess like that. It's a wonder I've got any brain left. I don't have much. But thank God we're not going to be here. So he said in verse 22, and except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, the days should be shortened. Now right away, somebody said, well, all right, Brother Dave, we're the elect. Yes, we are. But the elect here refers to Israel, to the Jews, his elected people. And he said, if they went on any longer, the Antichrist has such power, he would deceive even the elect. Now, you think about this, and we'll kind of wrap this up and take a break. Think about what we have today, right now. We have electronically and the ability to transmit something live around the world in real time because of satellite imagery and all the rest of that stuff. We are making progress in robotics now. You've got robotics that are taking over people's jobs. And down the road, I read the other day that for people who can't get a wife or a fella, they got robots you can buy, and they'll marry you and just be, oh, dear Lord, are you kidding me? Whew. Well, time's got away. And I hope it's been a profitable time for you. I pray that you understand a little better now. If you don't, write us or call us. We'll try to help you out any way we can. Until the next time, may God bless you, neighbor.
You've been listening to the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Brother and Pastor Dave Jones from Faith Independent Baptist Church, 1532 Elijah Creek Road in Hebron, Kentucky. Check out the website,
faithindependentbaptist@hebron.org.
Write to Faith Independent Baptist Church today, Post Office Box 502, Hebron, Kentucky, 41048. Faith Independent Baptist Church in Hebron, with Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning preaching at 11 a.m., Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening prayer service at 6:30 p.m. Tune in again next week at this time for the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Pastor Dave Jones. Thanks for listening.